Cormel,
let's do it. Keep it spicy. If you see a queen, you better wife it. While we little than a lighter, it makes things much brighter. So you gotta keep it spicy.
And all right, it's an honor. Stefan Rust is the new, maybe not so new anymore, but new to you, new to. It's been since summer here, the new CEO of Bitcoin.com. We are honored to have him on. But before we get in proper here, first off, Stefan, thanks so much for coming on the show, man.
Well, thank you, Edward. Great to be on the show. I'm super excited to be here and thank you for inviting me. Yeah, it's been, I think, 3-4 months now since I've taken on the role as CEO, and super excited. The team's super pumped. We've got a great team and really looking forward to bringing and working with that team to bring Bitcoin.com to new heights.
Now, I'm very familiar with Roger. I count myself among his fanboys. And so you kind of know what to expect with Roger. And we've never met before. I've just kind of seen you in passing on social media and so forth. And, you know, you certainly didn't strike me one way or the other, just that the fact that Roger had sort of, you know, gave his imprimatur was enough for me. But what I noticed, just to listeners, in case they're, well, I know they're not aware, but just how on it Stefan is. We started chatting on Telegram, and when it got close to the fact that he would try to find some time for us here, before I could respond, he'd set up another channel so we could chat with an assistant. He did basically all the groundwork. So as much as I want to take credit for booking Stefan, he did all the work. So he is a proactive dude. He is on it. He's got his bags packed. He's ready to work. So for fans of Bitcoin.com, it seems, at least, you know, from the surface, it's in really good hands. So you're in Hong Kong right now, right?
Yeah, I'm in Hong Kong right now. Thanks for those kind words, by the way. But
Super impressed, because when even we get, okay, so in the crypto space, you either get people that are gigantic head cases, or you get kind of sort of the weird peripheral guys, and whenever, and very few people in between. And so when I talk with someone who's a CEO or whatever, you'd be, maybe you wouldn't, but you'd be shocked by, I have to go through 6, and I'm not joking, 7-8 people to get to the person, and we've got to go back and forth, and they need the questions ahead of time, and then they want a babysitter online as we talk. I'm not joking. So wow. It was so refreshing to just have like one, you know, 2-3 sentence, you know, conversation. But he's doing all the work. Fantastic.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I think, you know, part of my background is really, you know, I've been an entrepreneur for many years. I know the importance of execution and moving forward and making things easy for your counterparts. I think that's now in my DNA. So I just tend to work like that. Some people love it. Some people maybe not like it too much, and maybe it's too fast for others. But I thrive on my energy and making things easy for everybody.
Don't waste people's time. Period. Nope. End of story. Yep. It's you know, very few things I'll say I hold sacred, but that is it. That is,
and it's the only thing that we have that is perishable. We cannot replace time. Time goes and it disappears and it never gets back. We cannot make it come back in any way, right? So don't waste people's time. Totally buy that.
Man. So into the Hong Kong thing, I wanted to touch on, because I find it fascinating. You were actually born there. You work there. You have we could spend probably 3 hours talking about your personal history, which is really, really interesting. But kind of skipping right to the news of the day, how are things on the ground in Hong Kong? How's the quality of life there? Is it returning to normalcy, or I'm not sure, you know, what you can actually say, but.
So I think it's 22 weeks. It's been ongoing, these protests. I mean, to be honest, you know, I don't want to go too much into it because I know you had a whole podcast on it earlier.
Right.
I think the same sentiment still resides. People are super upset by the lack of leadership in the local government. I think they haven't stood up. All they need to do is basically sit down at a table with these students or with the population and identify what are the top 20 points we want to address. And let's figure out a path how we work together as a country to, and you know, within these two different systems, to make this one country, two systems, sorry. How do we make this work together? How does government and the population work together and get their voice heard? But I don't think it's only a Hong Kong phenomenon. I think you're seeing this around the world in places like Chile, Paris, the Yellow Movement, Lebanon, you know, Argentina, Venezuela. A lot of these countries are, and they're not only developing countries. I was in London. I had about four protests throughout the whole of London when I was walking through London that whole period of time. So populations are around the world are feeling their voices are not heard. And you can argue in some cases it's not as fundamental, in other cases might be more fundamental. But to me, how do we let the population who are actually paying the tax dollars get their voice heard? And you know, it may not happen overnight, but it can be in a roadmap like most developers work on. We build roadmaps, we identify priorities, we agree on a priority, and we build going forward. And I think governments need to work with their population on doing something similar.
Yeah, it's that can-do attitude, I think, that it kind of goes without saying, I guess, but that lacks in the political class. Not just, and I don't want to pick on Hong Kong or China. Yeah. Necessarily, but that really is lacking, as you said, all over the world. But speaking of CEOs and leaderships and transitions, I was so I think my first interaction with you, media wise, was through jealousy. I became insanely jealous of. So not only are you CEO of Bitcoin.com, and you're a go-getter, but you're also inching your way, Rust, into my business by snagging an interview of, he rarely gives them, with Wu Jihan, then was still kind of on the peripheral, you know, doing his Matrix port thing with Bitmain. You actually were able to sit down with Jihan and give one of his first interviews in a very long time. And it's I encourage, and we'll link to it in the show notes, because Jihan talks quite a bit about his plans for the future, and it turned out to be a little bit of foreshadowing. But how the heck did you rope him into to getting on camera with you?
I mean, I wouldn't say I roped him in. I think it was Bitmain has been in the ecosystem really early on, and I think like Bitmain, Bitcoin.com has been in the ecosystem really early on. And I think, you know, that's built a lot of heritage between the two companies. We work very closely together. We both support Bitcoin Cash. Right. And I think those are all elements that we see eye to eye on. And I think he was, looking to come out a bit more and share some of his views and have his opinion heard. He is very proud of what Bitcoin.com does. He loves what we do. He's impressed with a lot of the media we put out and the content we generate, but also some of the products and tools. And so, and like you said earlier, or like we were chatting just before the show, we've been launching at quite a fast pace, a lot of new products. And I think we need to communicate to the market a lot of that. And he sees us doing all these little projects and products, and how can he help us in that manner as well?
I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this, but with his reascendancy to back in control, as it were, of Bitmain, are you bullish on Bitmain going forward?
I always have been. I think, you know, Wuhan was a great visionary. He saw the opportunity far sooner than most. And Yeah, so I think Bitmain is I would have bought that stock at their IPO, even though everybody was against it way back when. And it was Hong Kong lost that opportunity.
Right,
now
I was about to
go to NASDAQ, right? It's like, come on. Again, lack of leadership in Hong Kong. And so I think, you know, that was a great opportunity. And I think, yeah, I think what he's doing is great. Not many people understand blockchain, let alone cryptocurrencies on top of blockchain, and having the engineering foresight to be able to build products that mine and tap into the utilization and conversion of energy to solving algorithmic problems was, you know, a true visionary.
Yeah, and I also love that in the interview you talked a little bit about his translating the Bitcoin white paper into Chinese, yeah. Which, I mean, you just cannot understate Jihan's role in the history of the development of Bitcoin. So good on you for that. I am still insanely jealous about that interview. But let's get into why we have you on here. For this particular episode, and these are really it's all that's happening at Bitcoin.com, and you alluded to it in our pre-show here conversation. I was sort of going through the deals, rattling off my notes here. HTC, you guys acquired the devs from O3. You've got an exchange going on, an actual formal exchange. You have local.bitcoin, which is the peer-to-peer side, and all of that is more or less, I know it doesn't fall out of the sky, but it's more or less happened under your watch. You are known as a deal maker. How much more of that can fans of bitcoin.com expect from you?
Well, I don't think I would take all the credit for that, because I think a lot of these things require a team to do that. I'm very much a team player. I view myself as the captain of the team and empowering the team. I work really well with Roger together. I think we see eye to eye on a lot of things, which is fantastic. We're going to do a lot more deals. We really want to take cryptocurrencies into the mainstream, and we believe Bitcoin Cash is the currency to do that with. The protocol itself lends towards fast, cheap transactions, and we like to enable privacy capabilities in there if people so wish to do so. That's really what I want to drive, and we're going to be doing a lot more deals as we take Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin.com into the sort of professional era of cryptocurrencies, as I call it.
Yeah, you can see it. There is a, for those who haven't been on the Bitcoin.com website in a while, it's been sort of rebranded. There's a new color scheme that actually was a little controversial in our space, but just the silliness that comes with cryptocurrency. But it's rebranded. It's got this clean look, and as you say, there seems to be kind of a maturation there. Is your background in, I guess, the mobile space, your business dev background, is that sort of the go-go side of Stefan Russ, that, you know, you're just, if you're not making a deal, if you're not moving forward in these areas, you kind of feel like you're standing still?
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, yes, I feel if we're not moving, doing deals, if we're not getting traction, we're not getting customer adoption, we're standing still. The whole industry is still evolving. And from the mobile days, you know, I got into the mobile really early on as a mobile service, the mobile phone. I loved the fact that you could walk around with it. In those days, everybody was saying, nobody uses a mobile phone. Who needs a mobile phone? And then we try, you know, and then in the dot-com days, we were all trying to get apps onto the phone. How do I be able to watch services like a YouTube, trade eBay on my mobile phone? And we were working really hard to do that. The struggle we had really was, number one, we had to grow the whole ecosystem, build all the components to enable the online transmission and provisioning of applications, the consumer adoption, but we were always constrained by the mobile carriers at that time. We didn't. And then it was only in 2007 when the iPhone came out where all of a sudden you didn't need to depend that much. You could be on a much bigger display. You could then control and decide what type of services you want. And that's when these whole new applications came about, which allowed you to, which allowed you to take control and tap into not only time and location, you also got the location element into everything. So not only time and space, you got location. So it would know my location in a given space to be able to build a service around that. And if you did not evolve your product, your service, your business, your partnerships to adapt to that velocity, number one, and adapt to that change, you would miss out. And I think in crypto, it's not too dissimilar, right? And a lot of people now call it blockchain and not crypto anymore, or DLT, right, whatever you want to call it. But we're moving so fast on so many different fronts. We're now fully open sourced. So everything is open source. We all live on open APIs. And those were not, we all have internet already today, and we all have mobile phones today. So it's so much more... speed is so much more important, and getting things right very quickly. And what I'm coming up with is sort of a terminology that I picked up somewhere on the web. I think it's called minimum virtuous product. And so in that minimum virtuous product is how do we continuously evolve products? Identify what's working, what's not, tap into it, build an MVP, and then make sure you're testing it, you're evolving it, and you're using that either to fend off other companies trying to evolve in an area, or learn from that and use that in other products to enhance the user experience on that front.
Yeah, and you hinted at Roger and taking over for him, and I'd be remiss on the CEO front, at least the sort of day to day, you've described it in other interviews as really you guys working together. Obviously, you also say he's your boss as the chairman, but I think it's safe to say that you're not a clone of Roger. You're your own man, and you have a different way of doing things. Roger, and I'm sure I'm the first one to say this to you. Roger's kind of a polemical figure. He's known as someone who will throw a bomb and get out there and scrap and fight. So I'm going to let you talk. So what are the similarities, and then how do you think you're going to be different as CEO of Bitcoin.com?
That's an interesting question. I mean, I think we get along really well. I think we're both hyper competitive. We hate losing. And I think that sort of aligns us. I got into Bitcoin back in 2012, somewhat. And I got into basically because it was fast and it was cost nothing, right? Compared to at the time, it was only bank really that had an alternative. It was super expensive and it was slow. I mean, it took 7 days for a bank that was all interconnected on some Swift system. And so when I experienced that, I loved that. And I think that Roger's been a constant advocate of that and built a business around that, allowing people to pay and buy and trade in Bitcoin at the time. And now I think, we've managed to aggregate what I think is a really rock star team at Bitcoin.com in the crypto industry that is very hard to match or you see matched from a business, OG, crypto experienced and industry vertical experience background. And I'm hoping to take a lot of the work and help manage that growth. How do we transition? What are the, it's going to be a transition. I think the hardest stage of growth is going between your 100 employees to 500 or 5,000 employees. Wow. That's a very hard transition. How do you do that? We have big, lofty goals, but I think they're all achievable.
He's an exhausting figure, and I don't mean that to be critical. I mean, literally, We would watch, there'd be videos that they did for a little while with Roger sort of, you know, globetrotting around the world. And they had the idea, well, let's just follow and kind of show people Roger's day to day. And, you know, the videos were professionally made, and there's always a tendency with corporate videos of their CEO to be a little shilly and a little kind of weirdly Scientology, you know, oh, he's so great, he's so wonderful. What I really appreciated about the videos, and I continue to, is the fact that they're at least Roger anyway, was sort of unafraid to kind of show the, you know, the warts and all. And he was, it just struck me when you were talking, that he would be, you know, a full day of, you know, conference going, shaking hands, doing deals, you know, boardrooms and all this other stuff. You'd see the kind of the light change from, you know, sort of the ambient sun and then into the dark with, you know, lights around. And poor Roger would be standing there, and he'd finally get a break to maybe get something to eat, walk over to what is, you know, usually pretty awful conference food or, you know, some sort of buffet that's gone cold. And he'd go over there to try to, you know, he'd for 1 second have a rest to grab a bite of food, and then three suits around him. Hey, so you're Roger, right? And like it just seemed like he could never breathe. He was, you know, he was this prize fighter out there just taking on the world, trying to do business dev, trying to, you know, talk up the freedom side of things, which is its own a full-time job and so on. So I'm kind of unsure where I'm going with the question there, but did you must have seen this firsthand on Roger's end, right? Like just how incredibly busy the guy was.
Yeah, no, it's and I think that's another thing that pulls us together. We're both high energy, and not only are we competitive, I think we're both high energy. We just spent 6 weeks touring Europe, or 4 weeks touring the whole of Europe. Mm-hmm. We went to 10 cities in 4 weeks, and it was go, go, go all the time. And I think Roger has the added element of, you know, notoriety, right, which comes with it, where, you know, it's difficult, but we had a lot of fun as well. You know, we were doing electric scooters. So there may be some interesting partnership coming in that area.
Okay.
But we were taking electric scooters, you know, with the management team, we were electric scooting around Zurich. So it was, so we do have fun as well, but we are always serious and meeting big brands. I mean, we're talking to real big players in the ecosystem that are in the Fortune, you know, 500.
And so that's a nice way to get to what the roadmap is for Bitcoin.com going forward. Again, to a lot of us from the outside, with the exchange, all the deals, the news site, you guys are just everywhere doing everything. It seems like there's quite a bit going on. In sort of broad strokes, I guess, what's the plan going forward for Bitcoin.com?
We want to be sort of bring the future of money to the world. We want to separate state and money. We want to offer alternatives to the populations in terms of where they can get their money, how they can spend it, and that money can be a representation of their interests, their culture, their passions, whatever it might be, or their disinterests, right? So they can be able to allow to trade amongst themselves in that form and fashion. And we believe the best way to do that is driving payments and what we call non-custodial financial services, where we don't take custody of it, but we provide financial services to the whole population out there. So that's really the direction we're going. And we need to gain the trust of users. We need to be able, and I think since we've been around since 2014, we have some heritage in the industry. We prime ourselves on being trustworthy, clean, tough, but honest, right? And so that's really how we want to be known. And we're also tough and protecting our users and our customers, right? So we'll be going to be equally tough at doing that. But we like working with bigger trusted brands that are equally going to be trustworthy and represent their customer base with the same kind of passion.
Yeah, and you've got quite the road ahead of you. What an exciting time to be at .com and for you to be helping lead it along its way. I also have heard in some of your talks that you are also fairly bullish on kind of the ecumenical side. So like us at CoinSpice, we are very much about P2P electronic cash for the world. And yep. we find that to be most representative in Bitcoin Cash. But I've also heard you speak quite fondly of projects like Ethereum. Can you go into a little bit about maybe why, you know, not just being sort of solely focused on one thing is kind of important?
We live in our little bubble, our cryptocurrency bubble world. I think we're 270, 290, depending on the flavor of the month and the time of the day, combined industry, right? So we're, as a combination, all of us in the crypto world are roughly about 250 to $300 billion market cap. If we look at the financial services industry, we're a microscopical element in there. I think you need the, you know, the Hadron Collider to be able to go and find us in there compared to this mammoth industry. And everybody's getting so upset about what we're doing. We need to work together to get there. At the same time, I also really believe finding the right kind of partnerships that complement each other is super important to grow. How do developers that are going to build these applications on top of all these protocols how do we make their lives super easy so that they can benefit from low cost, fast transactions, great protocols, and also building out these great financial services? And to me, that's super important. And I think Ethereum have a very good developer community. They've invested heavily in that, and they've done a fantastic job at that, right?
For sure.
And we're not going to grow this industry on our own. We need to work with smart people to convince the population that cryptocurrency is actually safe. The way I view it a lot is, we're on this little island, crypto land, right? And we have all these little lots of plots on this crypto land that are allocated to Bitcoin Cash, that are allocated to Ethereum, and all the other players that are out there. And on those plots of land, we have our tribals. Those are our tribes, and we constantly battle with each other, which I think is good because it keeps us honest within the community or on the crypto island. And at the same time, it also allows us to, you know, be a bit competitive and push each other and give other people that want to enter into crypto land the choice of where, which island or which part or lot to go to. At the same time, I view we have a huge population outside the moat around the crypto island that want to, that are looking at all the cool stuff that's going on in crypto land. However, they're still very nervous to enter into crypto land. The bridges aren't too solid yet. The airports aren't all laid out yet. We can only accept Cessnas. We can't accept Boeing 777s or whatever it might be, right? So we still are working on building out infrastructure where 777s can land. We need to build some great hotels so people can stay there. We need to build more, you know, build high rises so when people want to stay and not go back home, that they have the ability to, you know, set up an apartment there and live in that apartment, get some furniture, et cetera, et cetera. So I still view we have a much greater population around this crypto island that we're all on that want to enter into crypto island. And how do we facilitate that? How do we accommodate that? Because the more people we get into crypto island, the bigger the hockey stick is going to be as they sort of realize this is a safe place. We have some great people here. It's fun. It's, you know, I can earn money here. I can live life. I can share. I can find my like interest groups, et cetera, et cetera.
Wow. That was Stefan Rust. He is the CEO of Bitcoin.com. Fantastic talking to you. Thanks for giving us some insight here into Hong Kong and all things Bitcoin.com and crypto. How can people kind of follow you, follow your work?
I'm on Twitter, srust99. You can follow me there. My email is stefan@bitcoin.com. And just keep going to bitcoin.com. You know, there's lots of stuff there. We're going to have some really cool announcements coming before the end of the year. So stay tuned. There's going to be a couple of big announcements in the next sort of 2-3 weeks, and then another one in another subsequent 2-3 weeks.
As I was listening, I was thinking, you know, normally my eyes would roll when I hear a CEO say that, but you actually do it. So there it is. Thank you so much, Stefan.
It's about execution.
Yes, you are. Thanks so much for coming on, man. Really, really appreciate it. And best of luck.
Thank you.
Gotta keep it spicy.